Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Royals.
And gone!
Trust the same experts who make the right call for the Royals and go to kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
Independent Republic of Soccer podcast. I'm Connell McCourt, coming to you from the Sports Radio 10 WFP studios here in Kansas City. So it's that time of year again, folks. Champions League is back. Match day one is done. It's complete. The first 16 games are in the books. Thankfully for you, myself and my good friend Andreas Sainz will be here to break all down the action for you. Seen everything in the first 16 games, a bit of controversy, some great goals, some red cards, some VAR. Lots of stuff to talk about, all the games and all the talking points for the next 45 minutes or so. We'll take you through it all. It's the Independent Republic of Soccer podcast, and it's Champions League time. Hello and welcome back to the Independent Republic of Soccer podcast. After a bit of a break off, but we're starting to get into the main part of the season now. A couple of games have came and gone domestically, and most leagues played about five games. But now it's starting to get to the big games. Champions League is back, Europa League on Thursday. And myself and Andres will be doing one of these after every match day of the Champions League. So for anybody that wants to listen, if you don't get to see all the games, I know there's a lot of games out there to see, 16 every time until we get to the knockout stages. And if you don't see it all, luckily for you out there, myself and Andreas are football nerds, so we'll sit and watch all the games. We'll break it all down for you, talk about all the games, all the talking points, who we think is shocking us as it goes along, because there are always shocks here in the Champions League. And who's not doing as well as we thought they would have been. So, Andreas Sainz, let's get into it then. Let's let the audience get to know you a bit, first of all. Where are you from? What are you doing here in Kansas City? And how did you get into soccer?
So, I was born in an island called the Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. So, that's where I grew up until I finished high school. And then once I finished high school, I went around a little bit trying to finish college and then ended up going back home. Ended up in JCCC, Johnson County Community College, go Cavs. there I met my beautiful wife, and I'm here now, you know, living in Lawrence, Kansas.
So what is soccer the biggest sport in the Dominican?
Soccer is absolutely not the biggest sport in the Dominican Republic. No. Actually, it's barely now starting to grow soccer there.
What is it, like baseball or something?
It is baseball.
Yeah.
Baseball, basketball is much bigger than soccer.
Yeah, Jordano Ventura and stuff is from, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so soccer, and your team is Barcelona, right?
Yeah, grew up a Barcelona fan. I come up from a Spanish background, so my grandfather on my mom's side liked soccer a lot too, so I guess that's where I get soccer.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we just start with Barcelona then?
Might as well.
Yeah. Barcelona, not a great week for you then? For Barcelona. Barcelona 0, Borussia Dortmund 0. It was actually in Germany. What did you think of the game?
When they were playing last weekend in the league, I was like, oh my God, this is much better Barca. Mm-hmm. When I watched the game. But then when I watched the Dortmund game, I was really sad. It was not the same Barca. I don't know, it's like a switch. They have been doing it all season, you know, like playing one really, really good game and then come out and, you know, disappointing. And I'm like, okay, when are you going to finally start getting these together one after the other, good games.
Mm-hmm. But consistency?
Consistency, yeah. And obviously, again, it's an excuse. They miss Messi. Everybody would miss Messi, course, because yep. Messi is Messi.
Second best player in the world and stuff, yeah, of course.
Well, for some, the second. For others, the best. But they're still a top team, you know, Griezmann, Suarez. And mm-hmm. they were, like you say, flat. Like they just.
Do you think they would have the weapons there to get the job done? But, I mean, what I seen, they were so flat, they didn't create anything going forward. Just not much going on at all. And Dortmund should actually beat them, in my opinion. I think they were kind of lucky to get out of there with a point. I thought Julian Brandt was very good. I didn't think Dortmund were great in the first half. I thought they were, Jadon Sancho and stuff was a bit poor, but came on, and they got better as the game went on. And, of course, the penalty and stuff. And by who you think was man of the match, Ter Stegen, right?
Yeah. I think Ter Stegen was the best player from the Barcelona team. And that's not good, right? Like, if you're a Barcelona fan, you don't want Ter Stegen to be the best player, even though he is a fantastic goalie, probably the best in the world, maybe, some would say.
Well, some people are arguing right now, and it's actually the opinion of German national team manager Jogi Löw, that Manuel Neuer is the best goalkeeper that Germany has to offer. Is that not, you don't share that opinion?
No, I don't think. Obviously, I'm not Joachim Löw or whatnot. But I have watched the games, and I have eyes, and I can see, like, Ter Stegen is.
So so take off, because I do the same. Look, we all do the same with our teams. We all like to think our players are better than they are. But if you take off your Barca tinted glasses, whatever they are, the claret and blue, take off those glasses and look at the two players individually. You think that Ter Stegen is a better goalkeeper than Neuer?
I think so. Like, I just think Ter Stegen, like I was telling you earlier, he's younger, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think I was telling you earlier how there's, like, Neuer might have been better when Neuer was in his peak, you know, winning the World Cup. Like,
yeah, he's one. He's a goalkeeper of a generation that only comes by once every generation. Uh-huh. I mean, his footwork and stuff is, I think, when he's on his day, I think he's the best in the world, personally.
Neuer.
Yeah. I mean, De Gea at Manchester United gives him a good
on his
actually,
day, maybe.
I mean, personally, I think it would probably be Neuer. So you think it would be Ter Stegen would be the best in the world then?
Even, like, I would just take out the glasses, like you said. Like, he's good with his feet. Like you said, he can play in Barca, pass mm-hmm. the ball. He's good stopping stuff, like, stop the penalty. Stop, not only the penalty, he stopped, like, shots from 2-3 feet away and just blocking shots. And he's been doing this all season for the past, like, 2-3 years, too, like, in Barca, just...
And it just goes to show, like, not every goalkeeper can do that. Not every goalkeeper can adapt to that. Like, we've seen, remember Claudio Bravo when he first went to City, they were trying to get him to play with the ball at his feet, and he was hopeless. And then Caballero, very similar. And then they got Ederson in, and he could play centre midfield. But not a great week for them anyway. Not a great week for Barcelona.
Not fantastic. They still got the point at Germany, so. Mm-hmm. That sort of, they still have the game at Barcelona to hopefully make up for that, but they would have wanted to get those 3 points to start off the Champions League on the
definitely. Right foot. And if it's any consolation for Barcelona fans, I'm sure you probably feel the same. One team that had a worse result than Barca in the Champions League was their biggest rivals, Madrid, who were beaten 2-0 by PSG. And this was a game, like, on paper before the game, PSG and Real Madrid look as two stacked squads, like two quality sides. But there was a lot of firepower that was actually missing from the game. There was no Neymar, no Ramos, both suspended.
Neymar suspended, yeah.
Yeah, both him and Ramos both suspended. Mm-hmm. And then Mbappe, Cavani, Isco, Modric, all missing. Right. So they were kind of both two depleted sides. But the game I watched, there was only one side in it. PSG absolutely battered them from start to finish.
And, like, depleted or not, like, this is Real Madrid, okay? We're talking about Real Madrid, the team who has won the most Champions League mm-hmm. ever. They have won the most in a row. Like, they have the coach who won all those Champions League. They are supposed to win every game. No, that's how they think. That's the club's culture. Like, mm-hmm. when you think Real Madrid, you think you're going to go to see them win. There's no other option, no yeah. tie-in.
They're ruthless.
No,
I mean, and their ruthless. Record shows it. I mean, any manager that starts to, that doesn't, isn't hitting the very, very heights, isn't the best team in football, get the chop. I mean, they let Zidane go, whether he walked away or they sacked him, whatever, they let him go after he won three Champions Leagues. That's fine, yeah, we'll just replace you with the next one. They've let Ancelotti go. They let Fabio Capello go when he won the league. He won the league and they sacked him anyway. Because just, I mean, they say it was because he fell out with Beckham, but sure, who knows. But it just shows you the culture at that club, and the team I seen playing last night is nowhere near the culture of that club. Hazard, probably, I mean, who were expecting to be their best player, so off the pace. He's only, it can kind of give him a bit of a bye ball. He's only played one game in the league this season at the weekend there, even though he played the whole preseason. Didn't really make sense. He was missing for the whole start of the season, just played one game. So he's been back. This is his second game back, and you could tell he was so off the pace. PSG were just knocking the ball around him. He couldn't get anywhere, and he couldn't set anything up. Nothing was going his way. And PSG were superb. Angel Di Maria scored two quality goals. Idrissa Gueye, formerly of Everton, quality. Absolutely mopped up everything going. Icardi looked sharp before he came off, before Choupo-Moting came on. I mean, there was only one team in it, and it never looked like Real Madrid were going to win that game.
Yeah, like PSG, when Real Madrid said, oh, we're going to play PSG, but at least we're not going to have to face Mbappe, Neymar, and Cavani, they weren't thinking that PSG was still going to come out and score three goals on them.
And it could have been more.
PSG played so much better.
Bernat, like, also just so good.
Like I was telling you earlier too, like I think Zidane got out-coached this game. Like Tuchel knew what to do. His players knew what they were doing. They had a great plan. It worked. They kept doing what, you know, they were instructed to do, and they just overwhelmed Madrid everywhere. Like you said, and Gueye, that the ex-Everton guy, he was so good. Like he was... A stat for him is the last 4 years that he was in the Premier League, he had the most tackles won from anybody.
Really?
Yes.
Idrissa Gueye. I mean, he looked like a good player. Was there very, very much? It would put you in the mindset of a Kante, like N'Golo Kante, just mops everything up so quick, so fast, so tenacious, never pulls out of a challenge. But they had so many good just players that were just fantastic on the night. I mean, the thing with PSG is they tend to do this stuff at the start of the season. Let's sort of see it towards the business end of the season when it gets towards the Champions League games that actually matter. Let's see these type of players showing up in these type of performances. Until then, I think they still have a lot to prove to people, but last night certainly didn't do them any harm. A bit of a stat there for you too, quality stat. Tonight, Real Madrid didn't have one shot on target. It's the first time they haven't registered to have a shot on target in the Champions League since Optostats started taking stats in 2003.
That's crazy.
167 games in a row they had a shot on target, and tonight was the first time they never had one on target. And speaking about Keylor Navas playing against him tonight, Courtois, who was brought in to replace him, hasn't kept a clean sheet since February of this year. Not one.
You know, we've been through this too again. We talked about that, and I just feel like they disrespected Keylor Navas so much when they brought in Courtois the way they brought him in. And I get it. You want to let Keylor Navas go, whatnot, but maybe let his contract run out, or I don't know.
Is he Costa Rican, Keylor Navas?
He is from Costa Rica, yeah.
So he's now the number one of PSG.
Right? He's the number... PSG's number one, yeah. Like, and PSG
they
might be
They were always
good with
trying
him.
To replace him for some reason. There was always talk of them going after De Gea, going after Courtois, always trying to replace him. And I mean,
kept winning Champions League.
That's it. He kept winning Champions League. It's sort of that... It's that Real Madrid thing. If you don't fit, if the face doesn't fit there, if you're not what they want to see, they let you go.
And they even would bring some other players to try to like get him to sit in the bench, and he would just outplay them and be better. And the coach would be like, "I want the Keylor Navas to play." When he started in La Liga, he was in a team called Levante.
Yeah.
And he won the best goalie in the league, but like the least scored goalie in the league, playing for Levante. Think about that.
So a bad team.
Like Levante are like a team that goes down sometimes and sometimes comes up. And he won the least scored goalie, or like the best average for the goalie. Like he's a fantastic player.
Yeah. Well, best of luck to him in PSG. Yeah. He could probably go on and win the Champions League this year. And
we'll see.
Sort of show Real Madrid what they've been missing. One big shock of the night, actually on Tuesday night, was Liverpool losing away to Napoli. They were beat 2-0. What did you think of the game?
Well, you say shock, but last year the same thing happened. It's like a repeat story. Liverpool lost to Napoli last year in the group stage. They did it again this year, and like I was telling you too, like Ancelotti is a fantastic coach. Like this game particularly, it's not like Ancelotti was much better than Klopp or anything like that. It was decided after the 80th minute by a penalty kick to go to VAR and be reviewed and all that stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, it was touching. I mean, I've seen those penalties given, but he went down very easy, you know. In the Italian league, they don't need a second invitation to go down. And Callahan, he's seen it was lazy. Andy Robertson had his leg out, and he left it out. So Callahan made a bit of a meal of it. But that's what happens in the Champions League, especially these European games, and a lot of the time they're given
this level.
And in the second goal, uncharacteristic mistake by the so-called best defender in the world, Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah, and scored by the unwanted Fernando Llorente. Like, absolutely. He became a free agent and nobody showed him love. But Napoli was like, you know what, come here. And boom, scores a goal.
He had a bit of an extra grind from the Champions League last year, Champions League final. So he got it back. But I don't think Liverpool have too much to worry about. Do you? I mean, it's going into, they play Chelsea this weekend. I didn't see anything that would be too worrying for Liverpool fans. Do you think they should be worried going into this game?
No, not really. They still have they're the champions, right? They're the defending champions, which in your book, they should always be the favorite to win because they won it last time, right? So why wouldn't they win? So the quality is still there. They didn't have any retiring players or, you know, any like older players. Like, they're still in their prime.
Yeah. Young squad.
They're there to win now. Like, they're not planning on, you know, either grooming youngsters or anything like that. They got their 11 pretty straight.
Yeah.
Arnold is the youngest guy there, but he's already like starter in England and all that stuff. Yeah. So it's not like
quality player too.
Yeah, not gonna groom anything anymore. Like, he's already a star. So Liverpool are there to win. Like,
another English team that had a bit of a struggle was Spurs. Actually 2-0 up. Third game in a row they've thrown away a 2-0 lead. The last at Arsenal there, and then now here tonight. I mean, they didn't look good. Spurs didn't. They looked okay in the first half. They didn't. There seems to be something wrong. Like, Eriksen looks half the player that he was. Didn't tonight? Just didn't look like he put in a shift at all. Gave the ball away more than any other player on the pitch. When do you ever see that at Christian Eriksen doing that? It's obvious. I mean, it looks obvious to me that he doesn't want to be there. Do you think maybe the talk of him going to Real Madrid last year may have turned his head?
Maybe like contract year. Maybe he wanted to go and they didn't let him and he's unhappy, or you never know what's going on in those guys' head.
But how do you explain it? How did they go from playing, like, I've seen Christian Eriksen absolutely rip my country Ireland apart last year in the playoffs. Denmark beat Ireland 5-1 and he absolutely tore Ireland apart. Every goal he had something to do with. So we know what he can do, we know what he's capable of, and I know players go in and out of form, but he just looks disinterested. When do you ever see him being given the ball away more than any other player on the pitch? He's usually the calmest with the ball, always knows what to do with it, always thinking one step ahead, and last night he just didn't look like he cared. For anyone that didn't see the game, Spurs were 2-0 up, but they got a penalty first of all, which was a penalty, and then Lucas Moura scored a cracker from into the box. Olympiacos got a goal, I think it was key, the time, they got it just before half-time, and so that changes the whole complexion of the half-time team talk. Referees going in there, instead of being 2-0 down, it's we just scored a goal, coming back out, your tails are up, your backs are up, the fans are, you know, the Greek fans are crazy, they'll get behind the team, and they came out and they got another goal, and it was a penalty again, and it was a penalty too, but Spurs just, their passing was dreadful, and they're starting to throw away a lot of leads, and that must be worrying for Spurs fans.
Yeah, like, I feel it's a worry, but at the same time, it's good that they're getting the leads, you know? Like,
yeah, they still have to score.
At least it's something positive. Like, now they need to fix the not letting the leads go out of their hands, you know, control the game better. But Pochettino, he might not be too sad yet, like, because he's getting the leads, right? He's getting ahead.
And it was an away game. I think it's just because of the way they lost the game. I think that's almost more important than the actual result. I mean, because if you think about it, a draw away in Europe isn't bad. A score draw away in Europe, most teams would take that. Because we were talking about it before. I mean, 10 points usually takes you through in the Champions League. You try to win all your home games, your three home games, and you try and get 1 point away from home. Well, Spurs got a point last night. So, I don't know. Are we overreacting to it, do you think?
Well, a little bit maybe. When you see Spurs, you see like the finalists of last year and this team was supposed to be an accessible team. Like, they're in theory, Spurs are supposed to beat these guys. Mm-hmm. No offense to the Greek team. Like, they did fantastic, right? They pulled out the result. But, like, when you ask anyone who knows about soccer, money is on Spurs. Like,
mm-hmm,
and their direct competition, Bayer, won 3-0. They didn't do fantastic, but they got the job done, you know. Three goals, easy pocket, 3 points, lead the group. It'll be tough for Tottenham.
Yeah, I mean, at least, as I said, at least they got a point. One English team that didn't get a point was Chelsea, and they were actually at home.
That one hurts.
To Valencia. I mean, I think it hurts them more because this is an open group. Chelsea aren't fantastic this year. This is a building year for Chelsea. That Chelsea aren't going. I don't even think they're going to make the top four this year, personally. But this is a rebuild year for them, and that was a big loss at home. But because they didn't even play bad. They didn't play terribly.
They were better, from my opinion. They did better.
You think they should have won the game?
Well, I think they were doing better than Valencia when Valencia scored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was definitely against the run of
play. It was like a free kick close to the box, you know. Like the guy hit the ball wrong. That's why the ball went in.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, Rodrigo.
The goalie was expecting him to smash the heck out of the ball, mm-hmm. and he like barely flicked it, and that confused the goalie. Ends up top of the net.
Yeah, Kepa.
Goal, right? It counted, but...
Absolutely. I mean, Chelsea, I think the biggest loss for Chelsea on the night is probably the Mason Mount injury. They haven't released how long he's actually going to be out for, but it didn't look great.
Hopefully not a long time, because he's really good.
He has been their bright spark at the start of this season. He was at Derby last year with Frank Lampard, and Frank's kept faith in him and brought him through. He left the American Pulisic on the bench, and he's been starting Mason Mount, and so far it's worked all season, so that could be a massive blow for them.
Mount was a Chelsea player loan to
Derby. Yeah, that's him. He was on loan with
Derby. Uh-huh. And then they brought him back because Lampard was like, I want him back. Mm-hmm. And Abraham has been the other one. He has been really, really good. The striker who, when at the beginning of the season, everyone was like, you're going to give him the number 9 shirt? Proven. Like, he's scoring. He did really good this game. Obviously, didn't score. They lost 1-0.
Yep.
But they have been doing really good in the league. I think Chelsea are still really strong, and they're still probably going to win this group.
I was actually fairly impressed with how Valencia played in the game. I mean, it was just sort of a textbook away game in Europe. That's how you win an away game in Europe. They came there, they made it horrible for Chelsea. They soaked up all the pressure, And when they broke with pace, and they broke in numbers too. They weren't scared to throw players forward when they were attacking. And I mean, it worked. I mean, obviously, it was they got a bit of luck at the end, but look, you have to get some luck in this game, and they just kept plugging away, and they got it, and they kept Chelsea out. They kept Chelsea scoreless.
Do you know what's going on in Valencia too? They sacked the coach earlier this week, before the Barcelona game. They sacked the coach who had won the cup last year that beat Barca and built the team and everything. He started the season with Valencia. They sacked him. Because of disagreements with the owner and stuff that.
So it was a new coach?
It's a new coach. The coach has never coached a first division team in his career.
Let's get his name up here.
Albert Celades is the name of the Valencia coach.
Albert Celades?
Yeah, he used to be a player. He used to play in Real Madrid and Barca. But he has never coached an elite team. And he got the point. He got crushed by Barcelona. Not that it really matters, because Champions League is another beast. It's like you said, it's another competition, another game. And Valencia went and fought, and they got that point that they, not that goal, so the 3 points that they'll cherish, you know, like that puts them top of the group next to Ajax.
It's a great result for them. I mean, speaking of Ajax, may as well just go into theirs. How impressed are you with Ajax, really? I mean, losing the caliber of players that they've lost, there's no way that can't hurt any team. I know they are a quality team. They've still got Tadic and other players that are still there. But Van der Beek, midfielder, was injured last night. Quality midfielder was injured. And also losing the likes of Frankie de Jong and Matthijs de Ligt to the super clubs that came in and got them. You would think they would be hit hard in some way, and they just came out and absolutely blew Lille away. And Lille aren't a bad team.
Second position last year in the league. They came in second right after PSG.
Yep, so they had a quality year last year, and they never looked like they were going to win that game. The Their manager Christoph Galtstad actually came out and said afterwards that he thought his team played well, and that he set them up the way he wanted them to play, and that's how they played. I mean, a bit odd for getting beat 3-0, but I mean, yeah, Christian keeps setting them up that way every week and see what happens. But so they're top of the league with Valencia. They're top of the group with Valencia.
Ajax.
You think that could be a bit of a worry for Chelsea?
Not necessarily. In theory, Lille was the weaker team in this group.
Mm-hmm.
So in theory, in Ajax eyes, they were like, this is the game we had to win. Because before the season starts, I'm sure this has to go through all the players' minds. Like, you know, which game is going to be harder than the other game? And like you have to think about it, because it's true. Like, you're not going to play the same against Lille that you're going to play Chelsea.
Yeah.
Nothing against Lille. Fantastic team.
Yeah, you just have to set up different ways against different teams.
Horses
for courses.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's a great result. And I mean, let's just see what happens there. It'll be interesting to see who comes out of that group.
Interesting group, yep.
So, last one, just before we take a bit of a break. Man City, 3-0 win away in Ukraine to Shakhtar Donetsk. I was impressed with City. They were, I know you said you expected them to actually score more, but out in Ukraine, it's quite tough out there.
And the Shakhtar is a good team, too.
Ukrainian champions?
Mm-hmm, I just expected City to score more just because City is so good. They lost their best defender, and they're still playing really, really good. They had to put a holding mid as a center back today.
Well, that's the big thing now. I mean, so at the start of the season, Kompany's gone from last season, and then their best defender, Laporte, gets injured, done for the season, and then now John Stones out for a couple of weeks. They're down to the bare bones at City at the back, and they're going to have to rely on Fernandinho to be playing in there. I know Kyle Walker's played there before as well, but I thought, to be honest, Fernandinho coped okay tonight.
Yeah, I mean, when you have to play Otamendi, you know there's trouble. Like, when you know Otamendi is your choice, your go-to guy for the starting 11. Not that I don't like him, I'm just saying he's not the starter at City. You know, if all the other center backs would be fit, he wouldn't play.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying, like, not there. I just think City are still too good of a team. I'm pretty sure that come winter, they'll either like bring back one of their loan players or go and get an experienced center back. No one expensive, maybe someone on the free to come in and cover that spot that they have.
I mean, I don't even think they care about spending money, honestly, because we've seen before, I know all this FFP and stuff, financial fair play and whatever, but we've seen it in the past. Like, they go out and they spend 50 million on a fullback, 50 million on fullbacks. They don't care. Like, 100 million worth of fullbacks in one transfer window.
If they see someone that's worth the money, they're probably going to spend it.
They'll do it. Well, that's the first eight out of the way. We'll talk about the next eight after the break here. We'll take a bit of a time out. We'll be back on the Independent Republic of Soccer podcast.
Kansas City's hometown sports station. Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hello and welcome back to the Independent Republic of Soccer podcast. I'm Colin McCourt, and we're halfway through going through the 16 games of the Champions League of Match Day 1. Of course, we will be doing this every week, every match day of the Champions League. Andreas and I will be meeting up and giving sort of a summation of the week, who we think are the big winners, who are the big losers, and some shocks. And I guess this next one we're going to talk about isn't really much of a shock, Baron. Munich win 3-0 at home to Red Star Belgrade. An expected win, I suppose, at home for Bayern, yeah?
Yeah, Coutinho's debut with Bayern in Champions League. Didn't do much, Coutinho, to be honest. Even though Bayern won 3-0, they were expected.
He was okay, yeah, he was okay.
Yeah, they were expected to get those 3 points at home against, quote, weaker opponents.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they did their job, you know, 1-3-0, the 3 points. Tottenham couldn't do their job, in theory, their direct competition, as we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and Belgrade, they had a decent chance. I mean, don't get me wrong, Bayern were dominant the whole game, absolutely battered them. But they had a couple of scares, and Red Star Belgrade had a chance at 1-0 to make it 1-1. That could have changed the whole complexion of the game, but not too long later, Bayern just finished it off. Lewandowski scores as he usually does, and Müller finished it off. The next game, Juventus 2, Atletico Madrid 2. What did you think of that game?
I like that game a lot. It was probably one of my favorite games
of the whole week.
Yeah, of the week, because it was very fought game. Like, Juve started winning 2-0, but it was against a little bit against the play of how things were going. It was a counter. Atleti did score their two goals on corners, mm-hmm. so.
But that's Atleti 101, right? That's what we've come to expect from Atleti. That's just the way they play. And look, some people say it's ugly. It wins them games. Diego Simeone is a very pragmatic manager. He plays different against different opponents. He works to his team's strengths and exploits the opponents. And I thought they done well to get both their goals back. Two set pieces, what you'd expect. Two big, tall monsters jumping for the ball, Savic. And then was it Hector Herrera, the second one?
Mm-hmm.
Scored a second. But Juventus did actually done well to go out 2-0, or to go 2-0 ahead. Cuadrado with a great goal. What did you think of Juventus on the night?
They were good. These were two really good teams, you know, playing each other. Juve, champion in Italy. Atleti, second, one of the best teams in Spain. You knew you were gonna get a good match. These two guys met last year, and Atleti won in that case at home and lost away from home. But they were at home to this past fixture. They were in Madrid. And Atleti will feel kind of disappointed that they didn't get the 3 points for me. Yeah, because they will feel like they could have gotten more. Like, they had a couple of headers that...
They had a couple of good chances. They did. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Ronaldo had a chance to win it in the last kick of the game. Mm-hmm. One of the last kicks of the game, anyway, mm-hmm. and put it where
Juve had, Juve had their chances too, because they are a good team. What surprised me from Juve is that Higuain is playing, you know, like...
And how well he's playing too.
From not wanting him last year to starting, you know...
It's crazy. Like, I mean, but it just shows you he is playing. He's meriting his pick. He is playing well, and it shows you, like, there's great players. Dybala and stuff can't even break into that team.
Mm-hmm. Dybala's in the bench because of Higuain's fault.
Mm-hmm. The Benfica Portuguese side, they were beat 2-1 at home by RB Leipzig. And I know RB Leipzig are a team that you like.
I do. I like Leipzig. Benfica are also a pretty good team. They just feel like losing João Félix will hurt them a lot, because he is kind of a generational
talent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they replaced him. They brought in Seferovic of Switzerland. He actually used to play in Germany for Frankfurt, I believe, last year. And so he's played against German teams before, but Leipzig were just too strong on the night. Timo Werner again scoring. Two times. I mean, the guy can't stop scoring at the minute.
Leipzig have a really good team. They're one of the dark horses to, like, do good in this edition of the Champions League, and they do good in Germany as well. Consistency, that's what they do. They don't necessarily have superstars, but they always play together as a team, and their second goal was just fantastic, how they, like, moved the ball and how they ended up scoring. Like,
he just can't stop scoring at the minute, Timo Werner. And there was a lot of talk to him going to Bayern Munich in the summer, and I believe a lot of people on Twitter and stuff, what I was seeing from Munich fans, they didn't really want him. Didn't really seem like they wanted Werner. They were kind of wanting aiming higher, because I think they had their heart set on Sané, in all fairness. But Werner, I mean, he can't stop scoring at the minute. I mean, he's Germany's main man.
He is, and he's been scoring since a couple of years now. He just keeps scoring and scoring and scoring. And I think what actually Bayern want is they want to get him on the free. Like, they're pretty good at doing that with German players.
Yeah, because he would cost a good bit of money at the minute, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he scored 5 goals already this season, or 6 goals and 7 goals in 6 games in all competitions, I suppose, if we're counting the two tonight. But that's insane coming into this. And I also like their coach, Julian Nagelsmann. He was the Hoffenheim coach last year. And he had a great season the season before, finished high up the league in Germany. And then last season, it was his debut season in the Champions League. I don't think he didn't take to it like a duck to water. So Hoffenheim went out with a whimper last year. But it seems like he's learned from some mistakes he made last year. He knew he was away from home. He knew how to set up his team. And that's a great result away in Portugal.
Yep.
2-1. And he had his two players, or his main striker, getting 2 goals. Poulsen setting him up. Great link-up play up front. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with this year in Germany, not just in the Champions League, but in Germany too.
Yep, 3 golden points for them, right, away from home. One of their direct rivals, in theory, of the group. Those are the games that they were thinking that they want to win. Yeah. Those are the ones we really want to win. So they won, and good job for them.
It was a stalemate at Lyon, another team that you like as well, I believe. 1-1 was Zenit. Zenit took a lead. They went through Azmoun. And Zenit continued to create chances after that. Lyon did not look good. I mean, I know you've been waxing lyrical about them before, but what happened to them last night?
I don't know. They have been sort of a little bit Real Madrid-esque for this beginning of the season. They haven't been top of their form. They haven't been doing as good as they were expected to be doing. Zenit is a good team. They're the Russian champions, mm-hmm. and the Russian league is pretty competitive. Also, the Russian league starts before the other leagues, so they're a little bit more rolled into the season, more games under their legs. Yeah. No excuses, though. Zenit, I believe they started winning, and then Lyon tied via a penalty kick from Memphis Depay, who I think will be their key. Like, if Memphis Depay goes good, Lyon will go good with him. So we'll see. Like, Lyon have a chance to go through.
They have Dembele as well from Celtic, and I mean, I'm a bit biased when it comes to Moussa Dembele as well, but he is quality. Like, I don't even think he'll still be at Lyon soon. I think he'll be at a quality team. Mm-hmm. But you're right; they have it all there. They have the makings of a really good team there, and we just need to see a bit more consistency from them, I suppose. Where do you want to go next? How about Salzburg? Red Bull Salzburg, the other RB team, 6-2.
Yeah, 6-2. The debut of an American coach in USA coach in Champions League.
Mm-hmm. Jesse Marsh.
Yeah, ex MLS coach. He used to be here.
What a result for them!
What a result for them! Historic for him, like winning 6-2, like dominating too. Genk did score the two goals to sort of defend their honor, but they got trashed.
They did, and I mean it was a familiar face as well that actually scored a hat trick in the first half. Alfinger Holland's son. He scored three of their five goals, mm-hmm. in the first half. They looked quality. They looked unstoppable. And Salzburger, I think you said Leipzig. I think Salzburg are a bit of a dark horse to go far in this tournament. See, the further this goes, people will want to avoid Salzburg, because they're a decent side. Like, a couple of years ago, they got the Europa League semi final. Not a bad team. Last year, they went to Red Bull. They were in the same group as Celtic. They went away to Red Bull and beat Red Bull Leipzig in Germany. They're not a bad team, and they've won six Austrian leagues in a row, so they've just slowly been building. They've replaced, was it Marcus Rosen was their coach before? He got taken, and they went and got the American Jesse Marsh, as you said, sort of thinking outside the box. And they've had to replace players too, as they've went along, and they seem to be a bit of a, I can see them upsetting a couple of bigger teams the longer this tournament goes on.
Yeah, they beat Genk, and Genk is a good team too. Like, they might not have necessarily a lot of the players there right now, but they're famous because so much talent has been developed through their youth team, like De Bruyne, Courtois,
that's true.
Carrasco,
Divock Origi,
Origi, Benteke, and all of these guys have come through at least partially through Genk, and they're no pushover. So that 6-2 tells you how dangerous Red Bull Salzburg are.
Mm-hmm. Well, where should we go next? Red Bull Salzburg. How about Bayer Leverkusen? A bad loss for the Germans at home to Lokomotiv Moscow.
That's right. They lost at home 2-1.
That's their third game in a row they haven't got a win.
They lost really badly last weekend to Dortmund, 4-0, I believe it was. And
4-0, yep.
Yeah, and they have not been able to find their groove. This loss will hurt them a lot in their morally. But if they can regroup from it, they're still a really competitive team, because they lost because some silly goalkeeping error.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Goalkeeper kicked it, absolute howler, kicked it straight to the centre forward, and...
Yeah,
I mean, couldn't have made it any easier for him. It was a bit like Loris Karius in the final last year for Liverpool. Sorry, Liverpool fans. But
that's right.
I mean, sort of the exact same thing. Headed straight to the striker. One team that didn't get a win at all. Club Bruges, one of the more unpopular, I suppose, of all the games. No one really was interested in what was happening in Bruges. Galatasaray went there, and it was 0-0. To sort of lived up to a damp squib. Keepers were the best players on both teams. I thought Muslera and Simon Mignolet making his debut, formerly of Liverpool. Neither team really threatened that much. Falcao had a good chance. Nagatomo had a good chance, but other than that, 0-0. I mean, what did you see from that game?
I thought Galatasaray was gonna get the 3 points
away from home.
Yeah, they're a good team. They will be super happy with the point too. Not super happy, right? Because in theory, Bruges is the club to win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in this group, because you got to play Real Madrid and PSG.
That's it. They'll be wanting to beat each other. That's the fade out for third place, right?
Yeah, and Bruges was inspired by the Mignolet signing. You know, he's top world class goalie. Even though he had to leave Liverpool because someone was better than him, I guess. Okay, he doesn't. But he's still quality, better than whatever gang Bruges could get. So Galatasaray.
There's a laughter track here if you say Mignolet is world class again.
Okay.
The laughter.
But a fun fact about Galatasaray is that last year in the league they didn't lose a single game at home. They didn't win all of them, but they didn't lose any game at home. So that makes their home really tough to beat.
Bit of a fortress, and that's very key when it comes to European competitions because you need to win your home games, and it sort of looks like they have that big advantage there. One team that didn't win their home game that we actually expected to win was Inter Milan. They were 1-1 at home to Slavia Prague. And Slavia Prague actually took the lead, went 1-0 up. And do you know what? They didn't, to be fair to Slavia Prague, they didn't sort of rest after they took the lead. They kept going for it and going for it. But they ended up conceding in the last minute. What do you think of Inter?
They'll be disappointed. They'll be kicking themselves that they didn't win this game. For them, they felt like this is their Champions League. You know, this is their moment to shine. Mm-hmm. They put all this money into this team, got in this supposedly fantastic world-class coach, which he is, and they lost to the weakest team in the group. Again, I do quotes now because there's no such thing really as anything can happen in the game. But they will be like super upset. They would have feel like that those 3 points, they needed it. Like at home, against the weakest team in the group,
mm-hmm.
you want to win.
And they had their chances too. Arturo Martinez up top had a couple of decent chances. Mm-hmm. Alexis Sanchez didn't get on the field. Lukaku had a decent chance as well. And it was actually, they got a stroke of luck at the end with the goal. They could have actually went on to win it as well, bizarrely. Yeah. But it ended 1-1. Probably not a great result for them. But, I mean, it could have been a worse start, I suppose, right?
Yep.
The Italian team, they probably had the worst start of all. Atlanta, someone who you were actually quite excited about coming into this Champions League, and it couldn't have possibly started worse for them, could it?
That's right. I actually liked them a lot to do really good, and they're not only the worst result for an Italian team, the worst result for any team mm-hmm. in the Champions League, because even the 6-2 for Genk at least scored 2 goals,
They
would have those 2 goals for them. These guys lost 4-0 in their favor. It was away from home. They haven't been in Champions League for a while. They may have been a little bit nervous to start. I think they will get their, you know, beep together. they will pull through, you know, at home. They'll make it a fortress. They're not easy to beat at home either. They were, I think, third place in Italy last year. So they're a
good team. But you have to sort of give it to the Croatians as well. Zagreb, I mean, Orsic up front got a hat trick. It's a 4-0 win in the Champions League. That's not, you don't get that every day.
And Zagreb is no pushover. They won their league by like 20 points, the domestic league last year. Croatia. So they're a really good team, especially if you consider that Luka Modric played there. That's where he actually
mm-hmm.
went through to shine and went to Tottenham. Luka Modric, and also last year's U21 European Finals MVP, Dani Olmo. Dinamo Zagreb, he's a Dinamo Zagreb player and helps them win 4-0.
Was he at Barcelona?
He was a youth player in Barca, yes.
Okay. Well, so that's all 16 games. I mean, we've seen the first slate of games now. It's early days yet, but we've kind of learned stuff about certain teams, what teams are sort of going to be able to cope with the pressure this year when it comes to the big games. What do you think was the best game of the weekend? Or of the match day, sorry.
The next match day, by the way, is October 1st. That's the next time we meet again. Yeah. The best game for me was the Juve Atleti game. Just because a little bit emotional value. And it was a really fun game. Like it was go up and up and down. Both teams trying to win. No one team was trying to just hold a result. That like Juve scored the two goals and they still tried to keep going. So it was a really fun game to watch.
I enjoyed the PSG Real Madrid as well. I mean, I thought
you enjoyed Real Madrid losing.
I always say I like to see them lose, but PSG were class. Were fantastic to watch. We're knocking the ball about brilliantly. Like really, really impressed me. Idrissa Gueye really impressed me. Bernat really impressed me. Di Maria celebrating against his old team. Love that. But I can see PSG, if they can do this, if they can start recreating this towards the business end of the year, that's another team that no one's going to want to face. Who do you think was the biggest losers of the week? I mean, I know Atlanta get beat 4-0 away from home. I think that may be a massive loss for Chelsea.
Yeah, I was Chelsea maybe, but Chelsea lost to another really good team. But I was going to say Inter probably was a big loser here too, because even though they got a point, they definitely lost the game they should have won at home.
They've thrown away 2 points rather than gain one, which is kind of weird, like seeing as they scored in the last minute, but they were so expected to win that game, right?
Yeah, particularly against that opponent. And, you know, at home, everything was pointing for you to get the 3 points in. Nope.
Absolutely. Well, it was fun.
As always.
This is the first installment then that we've done the match day. We'll be doing this, as I said, every match day, after every match week, I suppose. So sort of we'll try and have it out for the Thursday on the day of the Europa League games. But we'll be going through them all. If you want to get me on Twitter, I am Connell_MCC. If you want to ask any questions or anything to myself or to Mr. Andres. But thank you, Andres, for being with us. And I suppose we'll just speak on October 1st then.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Of course, can't wait for that, like, Champions League. It's Champions League season. Got to be happy all the time.
That's right.